thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Father God, just thank you that you are the living God. Lord, that you are alive, and Lord, that you are sitting at the right hand of the Father for us tonight, Lord, that you do want to meet us tonight, Lord, where we are at our lowest, Lord, and Lord, wherever we're hurting or wherever, if we're in the valley, Lord, you're with us. If we're in the mountaintop, you're with us, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the worship team, and Lord, and we thank you that we can worship you, Lord, that we join the host of angels, Lord. It's not just a load of people coming together just to sing a few songs, Lord. We're coming to, with the angels, Lord, and we worship you, Lord. As the elders bow before you, Lord, we're joining them, Lord. Lord, and we thank you for that privilege, Lord. And tonight, Lord, as we speak your holy word, Lord, we do claim the name of Jesus over this house, and we ask for your anointing of your Holy Spirit as your word is spoken, in Jesus' name, amen. If you want to turn to Psalm 130 for those who have a real Bible. Oh, here. Bottom of money. Yous have got loads of real Bibles. Even the young people have got real Bibles. Man, they've all got phones. So, Psalm 130, I'm going to read the first four verses, and it says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Have you ever, ever been so low, so broken, so weighed down by life, weighed down by guilt, that you don't even know what to pray? The psalmist here is crying from the very rock bottom. He's in despair, but he does the right thing. He doesn't bottle it up the way men, we like to bottle things up, but it's good to talk. He doesn't drown himself in self-pity. He cries out to God. And that's what I want to tell somebody tonight. No matter how low you feel, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter how dark it may seem, there is a God in heaven who hears your cry, who offers forgiveness, mercy, and redemption. You see, for those who take notes, for the ones who are getting into heaven, point one, the cry from the depths. You see, the psalmist says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Let me tell you, life will put you in some depths. Depths of grief, depths of depression, the depths of financial struggle, the depths of addiction, the depths of guilt and shame. But wherever you are, God still loves you. We had the privilege to work with Teen Challenge, which is working with people with addiction. And all over COVID, we had the privilege to still be out in the streets because the homeless were still homeless. And to see the people who were rock bottom, to see people who give their life to the Lord and who's now still walking with the Lord, who the Lord just took every addiction away from them. Just like that. You see, the God that we serve is a living God. And he can take anything away from you. I don't know if I've said to you, but I used to, when I was in the military, I used to take a lot of alcohol to try and get through the day. I'm not going to use it as an excuse because of what I said and all that kind of stuff, but I was taking a lot of alcohol, and there was one New Year's Eve that I had 7 bottles of Yellowtail red wine in me, and I was still looking for more. My daughter's now 21, and she was 8 years of age, standing in the kitchen, tears were coming down her face, and she says, "Daddy, please, no more." And the Lord used that chair to break my addiction for alcohol, because I haven't had an hour drink, haven't had an hour desire from it, because the Lord breaks all things in his children. Some people, when they're in the depths, they try to turn inwards. I don't know about you, but I was guilty of that. They throw the pity party. Oh, if Lorraine was here now, she said he's number one. Because I used to throw pity parties all the time. Sitting in the corner, throwing a strunt at 30 and 40 years of age. And Lorraine's going, seriously? It doesn't work with the Lord. It's so easy to get so wrapped up in our own emotions. It's so easy to get wrapped up that we forget that there's a God above us. There's a God that wants to take us out of our situation. You see, we isolate ourselves. But notice, the Spirit should lead us not into self-pity, but to lead us into prayer. And I know that sometimes we don't know what to pray. But we're Pentecostal, we should have the Holy Spirit. And so many of us forget to rely on the Spirit of God. When we are at our lowest, when God can use us. You see, 9 times out of 10, God can't really use you when you're on the mountaintop. Because we've got everything sorted. It's when we're in the valley. It's when the darknesses are all around us. It's when we're in so much despair. It is when we hit that panic button that we need the prayer. We need to speak to God. We need to, oh Lord, what am I going to do? That's when God breaks in and he does amazing work within us. Our prayer should never be quiet. Our prayer should never be polite. I'm trying to say to my own church on a Sunday morning after we have communion, I'm saying, I'm leaving a couple of minutes of prayer, and I'm going, I don't care about your words. God doesn't care about your words. God doesn't want airy, furry, happy, clappy, and happy, whatever words. He just wants your truth. He wants what's in the bottom of your heart. And sometimes, the most raw prayers that you can do when you're in pain are the ones that God really loves. That when we're not polite, when we're not reserved, when we're saying to God, what is going on here? That's when God really turns up. It's desperate. It's that desperation. It's the urgency. It's the cry from the depths of your soul. That's the prayer that David's praying. Have you ever been in a place where the only prayer you can pray is, Lord, help me? Somebody here tonight could be in that position tonight. I was talking to Mark about a very good friend of mine, Pastor Gary, who came when I was serving in McGarvey, and he came to speak for me, and he took me by shock. He says, I can't take it for granted that everybody's saved in this assembly. He says, so I have to preach the gospel. I have to tell you the truth. And then he done an altar call. And it's the same. You see, I'm not your shepherd. I'm not your pastor. And you see, I don't call myself a leader because you'd only follow me out of curiosity. But I'm a shepherd. And a shepherd should know his people. But of course, I don't know you. So tonight, there's somebody in here could be heartbroken. They could be in the depths of, where's the next meal coming from? And they just cannot see a future. And all they can say is, Lord, help me. Do you know what? We're a family. We draw beside each other. That's why we meet in the house of the Lord. It's not just to sing a couple of songs and hear some Egypt talk a few words. We are coming here as a family to help each other, support each other. So if you are in that position, Lord, help me, don't be thinking that you're sitting here on your own. Sometimes it's enough just to say, Lord, help me. That's what the psalmist did. He cried out and heaven heard him. When you feel overwhelmed, don't retreat into silence. Lift your voice. God has given you a voice. Use it. Cry out in your car or in your bedroom or even the altar tonight. If you want to come forward at the end and cry out to the Lord, do so. You're in the safest of places. Nobody will judge you. But we'd rather see people coming forward, crying out to the Lord, than going out and being lost. God hears the cry of the desperate. Point two is the problem of sin. The psalmist continues, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? What he's saying is this, if God kept a running list of my sins, if he held them against me, I wouldn't have a chance. Husbands and wives, how many of you are going to an argument and, oh, it all breaks loose, doesn't it? Everything comes to remembrance. My wife and I were having a heated discussion. I'll just call it a heated discussion. Right? And so it's like an AK-47. Here's me. That was 30 years ago. How did you remember that? Oh, I remember everything. But I was standing there going, thank God you don't. Thank the Lord that he doesn't. That when we give ourselves to the Lord, that when we're washed, everything of yesterday gone. Your slate is wiped clean. And there is a book in heaven in Malachi 3:16, I think it is. It tells you there is a scrapbook in heaven for each and every one of you. Not about your sins, but every time that you speak about the Lord, every time you speak about God and Jesus and everything, that's all wrote down in heaven. I can't wait to get the ring. Just to see what God's wrote. But there's no sins in it. Because your sins are washed away. Sin separates us from God. We've seen this here in the Garden of Eden. I really do not believe when it says that God came down in the cool of the afternoon to meet with Adam and Eve. I don't believe that was the first time and only time that he did it. I believe this is an occurrence that possibly nearly every evening that God came down to meet with them. But yet when sin comes in, that's it, it's all over. God can't trust them to stay in the garden. And he kicks them out. And that's the separation started because of sin. You see, sin will build a wall between you and God. Just like if you're in a relationship and you break the trust and the barriers go up and the walls go up. It doesn't even have to be between a husband and wife because anybody has a relationship with somebody and you hurt them, walls will go up. And you know what happens when the walls go up? Communication starts to break down. You can't have an open relationship because you don't have that trust anymore. But thank God he doesn't deal with us like that. When God forgives, he gives completely. He doesn't keep a secret file on you. He doesn't say, I'll forgive you now, but I'll just remember that. I'll just put that one in the back pocket for later. No, when he forgives, he tears down the walls. You see, Jesus, when he died, he ripped the veil from the ceiling to the floor. That veil was 60 foot high, 40 foot wide, 4 inches thick. There's no way somebody could have came along with a pair of scissors or a knife to cut it. It had to be spiritually ripped. And that's why it came from the roof to the floor. You see, because now, in the Old Testament, it was only the elected priest that could go into the holies of holies. But Jesus Christ, because of what he'd done on the cross, he has made a way for you and for me. You don't have to wait on a priest or a pastor or a minister or anybody to lead you into the holies of holies. God has given you a way, Jesus Christ. When you're washed in the blood, when you are redeemed, you can go to God at any time. You can sit in your bedroom. You can sit in your car. You can sit at school and go into the presence of God, because he loves you that much. And he tore down, because of Jesus and what Jesus done on the cross, he tore down that communication, that barrier of the veil. And he's saying to you tonight, come. Imagine a courtroom. You're standing there guilty. And you know you're guilty. And you can see the judge is sitting there, and you can see the barrister who's reading out all your sins. And he's telling the court, oh, he's done X, Y, and Z, and that really determines 20 years in jail. And you can see the judge is getting ready with a gavel to come down. He's about to place a sentence on you to go to jail. And Jesus walks in, goes up to the judge and shows his nail-scarred hands and said, this one is mine. I paid in full. Case dismissed. How would you feel? I would say you'd probably feel overjoyed. You wouldn't just be sitting there. You'd probably be stunned. You'd probably then start to celebrate. How many of us really celebrate in church? How many of us really let go and just remember what Christ Jesus done for us? Remember what Christ Jesus is doing. And the words that we were singing tonight were amazing. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we go, oh, I can't let go because they'll start talking about me. Could you imagine JT being King David and prancing around here naked in front of the Ark of God and celebrating? Ooh, no. But how many of us would have that much joy that we want to dance? I remember, any Liverpool supporters in the place? Put your hands up. And we cast that out in the name of Jesus. No, I'm only joking. A friend of mine who was on the worship team in my last church, he says he went to the Cop. He says there was 25,000 people singing You'll Never Walk Alone. He says, Ricky, I've never felt as much passion. And I've never felt as much. It was like a religion to them. It says, it had the hairs on my arms standing on edge. And it says, I wish I could take that passion from the Cop at Liverpool as they're singing, You'll Never Walk Alone, and bring it into church. He says, their hope is in 11 men in 90 minutes that they'll win. My hope is in Christ Jesus for eternity. And I want that passion to celebrate what Jesus has done for me. That's the gospel. That's why we rejoice. That's why we have the Pentecostal fire. Because we know we should have been condemned. Each and every one of us is condemned. You see, one of the things in Belfast, I really can't understand the street preachers. They do a fantastic job, and yeah, there's a niche for it. But when you're attacking one part of a community because of their sexual nature, what good is that for us as Christians, as disciples? You see, my word tells me, if you're a liar, you're not getting in. So it doesn't really matter about those people. Because you see, when do we attack people who tell lies? When do we attack people who has been unfaithful to their husband or their wives? When do we attack people who, in the words of Jesus, had murder in your heart? So therefore you have murder. Because you're not getting into heaven. Because you see, it's easy sometimes that when we're preaching the gospel and we're telling people how bad they are, that we forget that it's as little as a lie will stop us from getting into heaven. That's why we need his mercy fresh each and every day. Point three is the power of forgiveness. The psalmist says, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. God's forgiveness is not partial. He doesn't just forgive 90% of your sins. He forgives all of them. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removes your transgressions from us. You're made brand new. And what does that forgiveness produce? Fear. Now, I don't mean that somebody jumps out on you and you go, boo, and you go, oh, not that fear. And it's a fear that I think that the church has lost. And that is a reverent fear for God. How many of us get up each and every morning and have that fear? Oh, I need to get into the presence of God. Oh, no, I'll let the Facebook come first. I'll let the emails come first. Oh, I'll let the God of Nescafe come next. How many of us has that fear that we really want to be reverent in front of God? We have that holy awe, a deep respect for God that we want to get into the Word, we want to get into prayer. And I know, and you're going, ah, but Pastor, you don't know my life, I'm so busy. Yeah, but God isn't asking you for 2 or 3 hours in the morning. God's asking for your heart for 5 minutes, possibly. You could be a busy housewife that has screaming kids. Can you set your alarm 5 minutes before you know that the kids are going to get up and go, Lord, you know my heart and you know the situation. You know the kids are going to be up in a minute. Because sometimes we lose that fear and that holy, holy awe of God. When you realize how much God has forgiven you, you can't help but worship. You can't help but lift your hands. You can't help but weep in his presence. That's why Pentecostal worship is so powerful, because forgiven people are grateful people, and grateful people are worshipers. Picture a child who breaks something valuable. They're expecting punishment. But instead, their parents embrace them and say, I forgive you. The child's love for that parent grows deeper. That's what God's mercy does for us. It draws us closer to our reverence and our worship. God's saying, through my son, I love you. I love you so much I sent my son from heaven that he was obedient unto death for you. And then point four, from despair to hope. Despair over sin should not lead to self-pity. Self-pity says, I'm too bad, I'm too broken, I can't change. I've never met anybody yet that God cannot change. I've never seen anybody basically, well, in fact, I have. There's a guy that I know, and he turned around and goes, Rick, I don't want to get saved. I know that there's a Jesus, no. And I go, why not? What's the sword out when I get down to hell? I went, oh, no way. Are you writing the loaf? He goes, what do you mean? I says, you're not going to be able to get scores done. He says, oh, no. I says, I got the perfect sense of what hell's going to be like over COVID. And I believe that hell, because there's no light, because the light is in heaven, so it's going to be in darkness. And forgive me if I upset anybody here, but it's the only way I can illustrate what I believe that hell's going to. Do you remember during COVID and you've seen the people outside homes who've seen their families in the home and they weren't allowed to go in and see them? And the desperation in their face and the hurt in their face because they knew that their family was dying and they couldn't get in to see them and they couldn't get to a funeral. And you've seen Queen Elizabeth when she had to sit on her own. And I just feel that that's what hell's going to look like. We're going to see family. Hopefully not any of us, because we're saved. But if you're in hell, you'll see family, and you'll see them close enough that you'll see them, but you can't go and help them. Could you imagine that for eternity? Watching your family suffer in the depths of hell. This is why we need to be telling our family and our friends the gospel, saying to them, there is. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter if you've been a volunteer in an organization and you've committed murder. God still loves you. Because if he can turn Saul to Paul, he can certainly turn you. But crying out to God turns the focus off you and onto him. The prodigal son in the pig pen came to himself and cried out. He found the father's embrace. Blind Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, son of David, and he's the only person that ever does. The blind man cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he was healed. The disciples in Acts prayed in one accord, in desperation until the Spirit was poured out and Pentecost shook the world. But you see, in the word it says that when Jesus was resurrected, there was 500 witnessed Jesus. There was 120 in the upper room. 380 got lost in the waiting. Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. God could be making you wait for a reason because it's not your time. I wanted to be a pastor 10 years ago and it's took me 10 years to get my own church. It's either I'm that thick or it just wasn't my time. And I'll just tell you it wasn't my time. Because the truth is, I know for a fact if I was made a pastor 5 years ago, I wasn't ready. And I would have decimated a church. And hopefully that's not the truth now. You see, when God moves, when the Holy Spirit moves, when you encounter Jesus, the miraculous happens. He turns the ordinary into something supernatural. Revival doesn't come through silence. It comes through desperation. It comes through desperate prayers. It comes when the people of God cry out from the depths of until heaven responds. That's what we need, especially in this day and age. We need a church that is on its knees, crying out for our nation. Psalm 130 begins in the depths, but it ends in redemption. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in the depths. The depths of sin, the depths of guilt, the depths of fear, the depths of despair. But I've come to tell you that that's not the end of your story. That's only the beginning. And you don't need to stay there. You can cry out to the Lord tonight because there is forgiveness with him. There is mercy with him. There is mercy that is greater than your sin. His love is deeper than your despair. His power is stronger than your bondage. And tonight God is calling you from the depths. The altar is open. Don't leave carrying the same burden you walked in with. Cry out to him. Pour out your heart. Receive his forgiveness. And as you do, the walls will come down. The chains will break. And the Spirit will fill you. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, we just don't come here as a social gathering. We come here to have a fresh encounter with you. Jesus, we ask that you will make yourself real to somebody tonight. Lord, if there's somebody questioning tonight, we ask that you will bless them. Lord, that you will take the burdens off their shoulders, Lord. That they will take on your yoke, which is light. And Lord, as we know that you tell us that we're sheep 250 times in the New Testament, and the sheep aren't burden animals. They don't work like donkeys or horses, that they don't take anything on to them, and that's the same as us. We give all our burdens to the great shepherd, him who sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for each and every one of us. And Father God, there's somebody here tonight possibly that needs to hear that you love them. It's simply just, I love you. And Father God, we just pray for each and every one of our hearts tonight, Lord. And if there's somebody needs a touch from you tonight, Lord, that you'll bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.